Alrighty, today I'm going to do an episode totally off the cuff. I don't have any notes. I'm just going to go off the top of my head about whether or not creating a nonprofit could be right for you and your business or your family. So just recently, like since, again, this Christmas trip that we took where we had road trips and my husband and I had a lot of time together, we started dreaming up the possibility of starting a nonprofit for our farm. And it's a supplemental addition to, I would say, the portfolio of businesses that we are building. And so I think what's really great and exciting about this is the opportunities are endless, but it's also not for everybody. So I'm gonna go through some kind of pros and cons and kind of the ideas we've been weighing out personally, and then just kind of share why it makes sense for us. So quick backstory again, if you guys don't know who I am, this is the first time you've tuned into the Work Like a Mother podcast. I am a realtor by trade, but I've had over, oh my gosh, we're like at 14 years of entrepreneurial experience. I've started multiple businesses, sold one for profit, dissolved one, etc. So today, again, I do real estate full time. I still have our Tolentino Honey Co. LLC, which is our honey co. from our personal farm. I am going to be starting a nonprofit called Lualuale Farms, which is a supplemental business with our existing for-profit farm, which is the family business. So my in-laws have been farming since 1980, I would say, in Hawaii. They've been farming the same parcel of land in Waianae since 81, 82, I think. So a long time, like 30 plus years. And it's just been a small family farm. It's 8 acres. And then we have 2 acres behind the house. So 10 total acres that they've been farming as a family. And they're at a point in their life where it's retirement soon, but not now. Dad is 81. Like literally yesterday, I looked out the back window of my bedroom and he was on a tractor tilling the field or disc harrowing it. He's just planted bitter melon, eggplant, and I think he's doing tomatoes next. And I mean, this is a lot of land. So he goes 12 hours a day full steam. He's not ready to settle down yet. And I'm pretty sure if he retired, he would go crazy. Hey ladies, real quick, if you are looking for a mentor, I just wanted to remind you that I offer mentorship to entrepreneurs. So if you're someone who has a never-ending to-do list and you're spiraling out of control and feel like your business doesn't have a track plan, I want to work with you every single week for a month at a time. It's super simple, but I come from over 10 years of experience doing this myself, and now I'm willing to give that information back to people. So I've mentored real estate agents, I've mentored wedding photographers, I've mentored other business owners, and they've come from a place of overwhelm mostly, and they really just needed clarity and a couple of action steps to move the needle, and we've seen gigantic leaps and bounds in their business. Like, I can't even tell you. So if you're interested and you want to know what that looks like, I want you to go to marinatolentino.com, and there's a Calendly link there to do a 15-minute discovery call with me just to see if we're a good vibe check, to make sure we're on the same page, and I would love to work with you one-on-one to really boost your business to the next level. Let's dive back in. Mom is in her 70s, and same thing, side by side, husband and wife, they are the hardest working people I know. But I also know we want them to slow down somewhat and to feel that they don't have to work so hard the way that they work, and just to give them some structure to be able to do that. So they are very much owner operators in their business. On the weekends for harvest, sometimes they'll have occasional friends that come out and help. But for the most part, it's mom and dad running the whole show. So we thought about this idea of, well, what if we add a complementary nonprofit that helps not only the for-profit vegetable business, but also helps the honey company, and all three can kind of go hand in hand. And so the concept behind this is obviously education driven for us. It's something that is doing good for the community, and I'm not doing it to just make a buck and like take all these grants and do nothing. Like, I actually truly have a mission and a vision and a big impact I want to make as an outcome of this nonprofit. But what's so great about nonprofits and what we've discovered is that there are so many programs and incentives and federal money and other nonprofit funds and grants who want to do the same thing, who have shared missions and values and partners with the same vision and values, who can collaborate to make a bigger change. And so, for instance, with us, regenerative farming, right? For giving more to the soil than we take, for really truly being caretakers of the land, is a big part of this. Food scarcity in Hawaii is a huge issue. I would say that's like priority number one or two for us. Knowing that if Hawaii was cut off from the rest of the world, we couldn't get shipments. We have about 10 to 14 days of food supply before we run out of food. We have way too many people on this island. On the island of Oahu, there's over a million people and like a dozen farms, I feel like. There's probably more than that, but it's so few agricultural spots left who are actually producing food. Ag lands have been turned into solar fields. A lot of our valley has been taken over by basil, who are run by foreigners. And it's not, like, you can't eat a meal off basil, I'm sorry. And it's all exports. That's the crazy thing. All the basil that's being grown here is being exported to New York City, I'm told. What's being grown here on our special land isn't even feeding the locals, which is just bonkers to me. So food scarcity is a huge part. And then the third pillar for me is really nutrition and health and wellness education. Where we live happens to be the highest rates of obesity and diabetes on the island. And so I am super passionate about teaching people where their food comes from, and mostly the next generation, and teaching them how to use the food. So like if you go to the farmer's market today and I gave you a huge bag of produce, would you actually know what to do with it? Would you know which vegetable has good things for you? Like, you could probably rattle off some things here and there, but if I gave you like 5 eggplants today, would you know how to cook them and what to prepare with them so that they taste really delicious, that your kids will eat them? Like, these are things that are like, hello, it seems so common sense, but we are so far from where we used to be, and we've gotten so far away from where our food comes from and our connection to what God made for us, like this beautiful, amazing, colorful food that we have. We don't even have a connection to it anymore. We think it comes from Uber Eats. We think it comes from Instacart. We think it comes from Target in a box. Like, it is so, so far from the actual source. So those are the three pillars. And the reason why this is so great. So a couple of ideas that came about is like, well, one, we need a new tractor, first of all. Okay. So if I have a nonprofit who has a grant, and we have a mission and a vision to do field trips, which means we need to create these beautiful experiences on the farm for education, I need a tractor with a plow, right? So the nonprofit is getting the funds to get the tractor. The nonprofit is using it for the project, but I can also happen to use it for my farm, which is really, really great. I can also use it to move things for the hunting company, which is really, really great. Okay, so that's part of it. Secondly, a way to supplement our income, not to make all of our income, but to supplement it, is that as organizers, myself, my husband, my father-in-law, and my mother-in-law can all be on the board, and we can have paid positions as the executive leadership to do this. So if Dad is titled the farm manager, we can give him a salary through the nonprofit for doing the things he's already doing in his everyday life, right? So if I'm going to plant a field of baby vegetables that are cakey vegetables, mini cucumbers, mini carrots, etc., and he's the one managing all of that, then he should be paid accordingly, a fair wage for that work, right? And the nonprofit can do that through the funding that we get through the nonprofit. Secondly, with Mom, she's really great with the connections with distributors. So maybe she's our community networker or outreach, whatever. And then she's helping get the food that we're growing to the extra hands. So let's say if the nonprofit is growing fruits, or even the farm, let's just say that. Okay, so the farm is growing vegetables. The nonprofit can then buy those vegetables at market rate using the nonprofit funds, which then the nonprofit distributes those vegetables to the Waianae Coast Comprehensive Health Center market for free, or for at a discounted price, wholesale, whatever. There's a way to keep this symbiotic relationship between all of the brands that just works together. And I think that's what really gets me excited, is like, instead of doing this in a way where in a traditional business, you would have a ton of startup costs, you have a ton of risk in the beginning where you have to put up all the funds and capital yourself to get the thing off the ground, and then eventually sell something to then hopefully pay yourself back, and you're not getting paid the whole time. With a nonprofit, you can do something, get funds from the get-go. You can get grants really easily and really quickly through a couple of places. Put in the investment into the new nonprofit and start to pay yourself from the beginning for doing that work. And the more projects you can complete and show that grants have been executed, then the more funding you'll get in the future. And the more partners you help, and the more connections you make, and the more people who vouch and have proof of concept that you're doing these things, the more grants you'll be granted as well. So I think that's where I'm like real excited of like, I don't even know where we're going this summer, what's going to happen by this summer. But if I can forecast the potential of this symbiotic relationship between nonprofit, between for-profit, and between Honey Company, it all just makes sense. And the impact we can make in this community specifically, let alone the whole island, could be massive, like in such a positive, beneficial way for the health and wellness of our community and our future generations. That's like ways that you can think of doing this. Another example that was given to me was, again, let's say that you need a well on land and you own that land for sale, like you own it fee simple or whatever, it's your land, you've lived there for forever, but you don't have the funds for the well. You can contract that land out to a nonprofit who has the funds for that well project, who needs the water to water their farm. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying the podcast, but real quick, if you are someone that's super overwhelmed and you're worrying, how the heck am I supposed to do all this stuff? I want to tell you, I have a really good 4-week course for you. It's called Core Values of Your Calendar. It's super succinct to the point, filled with stories about how I've overcome overwhelm myself and the strategies and tools I use today to do all the things that I'm doing today. So I've been there, I've seen it. I mean, I still see it on my feed today. All the influencers who are telling us, do this, sell more, be more, post 12 times a day, right? And it's freaking impossible. And so I want you to go to marinatolentino.com, scroll down and look for the course. Again, it's called Core Values of Your Calendar. Read it, see if it's right for you, but I would love for you to dive in and literally implement the tools and systems and strategies that I've learned over the years and have paid thousands of dollars in coaching to get this information and give it to you in this course. Check that out and we'll get right back to the podcast. After the grant or the nonprofit is done doing their project, then guess what? You get to keep the well because now the nonprofit is no longer there or whatever. Or another example for us, let's say we want to expand the farm. Well, we need land ownership, right? We need to acquire some more land or maybe a long-term lease or something. I don't have the down payment or the capital to get in on a $1 million piece of land. However, the nonprofit can easily have funds to, well, not, I should say air quote easily, it's a lot of work and time that goes into writing grants, but you can outsource that and then get a grant to then get the land to expand the vision and the outcomes, okay? So if I was doing this on my own, traditional for-profit road, it's like an uphill battle, whereas like if you have the right people and the right funding and the right partners with the nonprofit, this can actually be somewhat a much smoother road is how I'm thinking of it. So we have partnered with someone who I met through the Waianae Economic Development Council to be our grant writer and to help us structure and get everything set up for the nonprofit. So again, I'm not going into this taking on a whole nother job. I'm going into this strategically thinking, who are the people I need to put on my team to make this vision come to life, where I can just be the director slash organizer and deployer of ideas, but really my job is the vision and the connections and let everybody else execute and tie this thing up with a bow. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And if depending on what your industry is, like there are so many ways to think of tertiary businesses that are nonprofits that help fuel the same mission and values just through a different way of receiving income and funding for doing that work. So I have a lot more ideas, obviously, and I'm not going to give away all my secrets for this nonprofit, but just know that it is starting. And I think it's a really interesting concept to think that, oh, it's nonprofits are for someone else, or it'll never work for me, or I don't have time for nonprofits. In reality, there's a bajillion, a rainbow of varieties of nonprofits you could choose from and create, and a variety of sizes. It doesn't have to be a $1 million nonprofit. Could it be a $100,000 nonprofit and still move the needle and help not only your for-profit, but also help the nonprofit and all the impact that you're going to have with that. I am learning as I go. This is also serving as like somewhat of a vlog/diary entry for me. but I'd love to know if you guys have questions about nonprofits. Like I said, I'm learning, so I don't have all the answers, but I know people who do. And so if you've had a nonprofit on your heart and mind and you're thinking about starting one, I would love to encourage and inspire you to do just that. So I'll keep you along as I go, but let me know. Yeah, I think this is kind of a ramble. So we'll wrap this up, but I'm excited. Nonprofits are not for everyone, but for the people they are, they can do really great things in this world, and we need more of those good things.